Praise God, Christmas Eve fell on a Sunday. Because if it fell on a Saturday, you'll be back tomorrow. We are still in our Christmas series, The GOAT, the greatest of all time Christmas series. We're on week 4, which is now we're focusing on love. Love. God shared his unconditional love. Sorry, I'm losing internet. God shared his unconditional love with humanity through Christ Jesus. We are commanded, therefore, to love one another as he has loved us. That's the main idea of our message this afternoon. But before we do that, let's pray. Let's say another word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the songs that we were able to sing. We thank you for your guidance, Lord God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us, Lord God, to remove any and all distractions, Lord God, from us hearing your message. We pray for the salvation of the lost of whom you've brought here this afternoon. And we pray for broken relationships. We pray for healing for broken hearts. We pray for souls, Lord God, to live for you. Guide me, Father God, and bless my preparations. But at the same time, Lord God, override it. They may hear my voice, Lord God, but I pray that they will hear you in their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Then when we say love, right, it's so common. Don't you agree? At the same time, it's probably been watered down or misused many times. You might have misused it or abused it. But love, nonetheless, is a wonderful thing. The word itself probably gets tossed around too much. And at the same time, probably not enough. So the question, how does the world, describe love? So I would say that the answer will probably vary from culture to culture and from people's background or environment on how we were raised. Some of us might know what love is through our parents or might not know what love is because of our parents. We might have the exact opposite of what love is, which becomes hate because we never experience love. We can assume that through the songs, though, right? Songs, love songs that we hear most of the time, and some movies of the world, is how the world probably describes what love is. To be truly loved for who you are is one of the most amazing and wonderful feelings a person can experience. Do you agree? And the culture, the popular world, wants to express that through songs and their movies. But at the same time, during Christmas season, each year people seem to be just a little bit more loving. Do you agree? Maybe because they think Santa is really watching them, you know? Or they know that the gift that you're about to give them will probably be more expensive if they're nicer to you. You know, it's not always that people are always more loving, but more often than not. People seem to be more willing to extend love, care, and compassion during the holidays. But here is one of my favorite Christmas songs. And it was very popular, I believe, when it was released. And I think every now and then I still hear it now. This is by the Jackson 5. So try not to sing it out loud. You can sing it on your chair as I read the lyrics. People making lists, buying special gifts, taking time to be kind to one and all. It's that time of year when good friends are near and when you wish you could give more than just presents from a store. Why don't you give love on Christmas Day? Oh, even the man who has everything would be so happy if you would bring him love on Christmas Day. No greater gift is there than love. People you don't know smile and nod hello. Everywhere there is an air of Christmas joy. It's that once a year when the world's sincere and you'd like to find a way to show the things that words can't say. And isn't that very touching? Isn't it? Now, I love it. I love the whole message of it. But however, if you have lived long enough like me in this world, you will realize that Christmas love or kindness only lasts for the meantime. It's not permanent. It's very temporary or seasonal. What is it about giving gifts to others and being generous with those we love that brings the best out of us? Why does it feel so much better or more fulfilling to be on the giving end of things rather than receiving? Is it possible that at the very heart of Christmas lies the incredibly generous heart of the Father? How about how the world defines love in movies? Now I look around the room. I think I'm going to lose some of the ladies here after I say what I'm about to say. But I prayed about it, and I think I'm hoping that God will protect me. It says here, one of the most romantic movies of our time says it's The Notebook. Remember? The Notebook. But you know what? I don't agree. I think the girl in The Notebook is one of the worst women in there is. See, I lost a couple of people already. There was love denied there, right? The parents not approving of Noah. And then Noah goes to war, right? And then Allie gets bored and gets engaged to Lon. And then Noah comes back, right? And then Allie finds out that he's there and spends a weekend with him. And then Lon takes the back burner. She was engaged. She had a marriage contract, right? But then all of a sudden, she decided that Noah's the better guy. But the world finds that as one of the most romantic movies. See, my argument here is the world's thought about what love is flawed. It's temporary with songs that we sing. It's betrayal with the movies that we love. The love triangles that we are suckers of, right? The love triangles. Oh, most of the teleseries and TFC, all love triangles, right? But it's the world doesn't seem to know what love is. It will constantly change on how the author thinks of it, of whatever book you're reading, or whatever song, the composer of the song that you're loving, or the writer of the movie that you're loving. So we have to really find the definition of love through the Bible. And how does Christmas define love? The eternal God, creator of the cosmos, who sent his one and only Son as a gift to humankind. God the Father knew that the very people he created, whom he loved, would be the same people who would crucify him. He sent his one and only Son as a gift of mercy anyway. God knew it, but God did it anyway. One lesson of Christmas really is God's foreknowledge. All of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us, we want instant gratification. We put the food in the microwave, and 1 minute is way too long, right? We click on, we have Prime, Amazon Prime, and as soon as we press it, we want it to be right there in our face the moment we press that button. But see, God's good with his promise, but it took a while. 700 years after Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus Christ. But God is sovereign. It took man that long because God needed the road to lead to Bethlehem. Remember, because of the Pax Romana? Because of Rome building all the roads. All roads lead to Rome, that's why it was said. Because if without those roads, it would have been very difficult for Joseph and Mary with the baby Jesus to go back to Bethlehem the way they did. But love is giving. Unconditional giving. 2 Corinthians 9:15 reads, "Thanks be to God for inexpressible gift, for his inexpressible gift. What is God's inexpressible gift that the Apostle Paul meant here? Eternal salvation. Because of the greatest of all time, Christmas, God becoming like us, Emmanuel, eternal salvation, forgiveness of our sins. Our sins against him was made possible. Forgiveness was made possible because Christ came. Amen? That baby born in the manger eventually will be the man that will be sentenced to die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for you and me. Why? Because God is love. As we dive into love this afternoon, I want to take a brief moment to remember all the things we've talked about the last three Sundays. Right? And they are, we have eternal hope in the promises of God made alive in Christ. And then we have unshakable peace in Christ who will return for his church. And we have the gift of deep, abiding, and resilient joy through our love for an understanding of Christ. And at the end of the day, we can know what pure, unfiltered, unconditional love looks like because of the example Christ set for us. Not the notebook, but what Christ has shown us. Look at 1 John 4:7-9. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. At his core, God is love. It's not what he do. It's not what he does. It's who he is. In his being, he is love. Every action God takes part in is motivated and sustained by his love. 1 John tells us that the very reason God came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ is because of his great love for us. Amen? Amen. I know I'm going to be repeating love because that's our topic. I know I could end it after I gave you the title, but give me a few more minutes, okay? Because the word love has been convoluted. It's been watered down for us. And it's good to remind ourselves what Christmas is about. God's love manifested. The reason that we as humans can define love is because it has been displayed for us. It has been shown to us by God himself. Love is so much more than Hallmark movies and hashtags and everything else we've co-opted it to be. Love is deeply personal, hard to fully define, and yet at the same time, we fully understand what we're looking at when we see it. Amen? Love is not what people say. Love is what people do, right? If you're old enough, past senior high school, I think, maybe at senior high school, you know that people will say things that they don't mean. Especially boys. Boys will say they love the girl just to get something. But they don't really mean it. But when God says he loves us, he means it. And it's not because he wants something back from us. It's because he wants us for himself. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, it reads, love is patient. This is how you know what real love is, okay? It is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, this is not a marriage message, right? But if you're married, this is a good reminder on how you can express your love for your loved one. Are you patient? Are you still kind? Are you not delighting in evil? Are you always protecting? You have to see this. This is how you're supposed to enjoy Christmas together. If you say you love your loved ones, this is how you express it. You don't be impatient. You have to be kind. If you're loving, you're following the new commandment, because love is the new commandment. You may already be thinking to yourself, this love stuff sounds pretty good, but what should I do about it? I mean, have you seen my husband? Do you know my wife? Do you know my children? Love stuff sounds good, but what do I do about it? Throughout the Gospels, we see the disciples always had a lot of questions for Jesus. More often than not, the questions revolved around the things they should or shouldn't be doing. Things like marriage, praying, fasting, tithing, and Sabbath are just a few of the topics that come to mind. Interestingly, in the Gospel of John, Jesus gives the disciples a new rule to follow. And this is what he had to say. John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen? So you have to ask yourself, Christian, in this Christmas season, have you been more loving than ever? Or you're saying, I'm going to be loving if he becomes loving. When she changes, then I'll be loving. Well, it's a command from God. You do what you have to do with this one here. You take your argument with God. And how did Jesus show his love for his disciples? How did he show his love for you and me? And then we know the answer, right? We do. We know the answer, right? It is in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down ourselves for our brothers and sisters. This is what love is. Sacrificial love. The giving of. One of the statements that really caught me when I was growing up is this line from my dad when he said, you know, he said, I think I was in high school. He said, you know, I love you so much that I, even if I have the last bite of my favorite meal, I'm about to, you know, this isn't Tagalog, I'm translating, I'm struggling. Isusubo ko na lang bibigay ko pa sa'yo. I'm about to put it in my mouth, but I'm going to give it to you. So I'm like, wow. It's like, man, that got me, you know? That got me. I was good for like 2 days, you know? I was like, wow, this is good. This is good. Sacrificial love. We all know it, right? You're sick, and you call your boyfriend, and you say, babe, I want some fall. And your boyfriend's like, now? And you're like, yeah. It's snowing. But yeah, I want fall. What did the boyfriend does? He Ubers, right? I don't know. What's not the Uber, but the order thing, right? That's a smart way to do it. But you give it. Is that easy enough? You lay down your life for others? Loving others simply requires that we lay our lives down for them. We trade what we want and need for what they want and what they need. We put others before ourselves in place of ourselves at the expense of ourselves. That's what real love is. It's so cut and dry, so simple, right? It's simple, but it's not simple. It's not easy to do, right? Why doesn't everyone love like Jesus then if it's simple enough? Because love is a choice, right? Love is a choice. If I were to teach you to fear God or lose your salvation, if I were to tell you obey or lose your salvation, that's not biblical. Because God showed us that if we are to love Him, we are to obey His commands. But love is a choice. It is a choice. There is a dangerous teaching floating around that love is something you stumble into and out of. But as many of you know from your own experience, love is more often than not a very real choice you make every day in your relationships. It's a decision. Aren't we so eternally grateful that God the Father chose to love us, all of us, through His Son Jesus? Because we're not loving. Apart from Christ, we're not loving. But because of Christ, we became the apple of His eye. And aren't we unbelievably thankful that Jesus chose to humble Himself, taking on the role of a servant, dying on the cross for you and I? If not for the loving sacrifice of the Father and the Son, where would we be today? Apart from Christ, we are still dead in our sins. There is no good works, no amount of donation, no amount of mission trip that you could do to save yourself from your sins. All you need to do is trust in God and accept the gift that Christmas signifies. The birth of our Son, of our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you think that it was easy for God to love a world that by and large didn't love Him in return? Up to now, the world does not love God, right? It's actually the opposite. They hate God. Was it easy for Jesus to love the very people that hung Him on a cross and brutally killed Him? What did Jesus say when He was on the cross? Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is it always easy to love your Aunt Margie or your Uncle Albie? You know, those weird relatives that we have, the relatives that we would rather not see, but because it's Christmas dinner, we gotta go spend time with them. It's not always easy. Is it always easy to love your spouse? My wife will say no, not easy. Is it always easy to love your kids? Is it always easy to love your friends? Is it always easy to love your enemies? Of course not, right? Obviously, the answer is no. We want to love them, but they don't make it easy all the time. It's not easy, and it's not something you just stumble into. Oh my gosh, I fell in love, right? But that's what the songs say, right? Love at first sight. They were walking in the park, and all of a sudden, this good-looking girl walks by, and boom, love at first sight. He forgot that he was holding his wife's hand while he was looking at the girl, right? Adultery in the making, TFC part 3. Love is not something you just stumble into. It takes genuine, focused effort. Love takes genuine, focused effort to love others. Parents focus on loving their children. It's just not providing. If you're providing, what will the children say? Yeah, I have everything, but I never see you. And then when they see you and you never provide, they say, why don't you get a job? I don't have the new iPhone that I've been praying for. It's focus. It's a balance of things for the parents. It's a balance of things for the children. For husband and wives, it's the same thing. And you know what? It's what Jesus asked us to do. We love because He first loved us. Our Savior set the example, and He asked us to follow His lead. Paul said the same thing, right? Follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Love redeems. For as much as we all love John 3:16, it's worth nothing. It's worth noting just how powerful the next verse is. And this was recited at the Christmas play last night, especially when talking about the love of God. That's John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen? Christ did not come into the world to make our lives boring. Christ actually came into the world to rescue us from the world that is eating us up. It's making our lives waste away. Because the world is so good in derailing us from God. Spending all our time and effort and strength on things that will pass, rather than serving Him, living for Him through our spouse, through our children, through our ministries, through our loved ones, by sharing His love to others. God did not send Jesus to bring condemnation. He sent Jesus to bring redemption, reconciliation, and renewal. It's so easy to miss the purpose of God in our lives. It reminds me of Bong. Bong, when he was in Canada, Bong would ride his bike through the Canadian border, and then the immigration patrol guy there was looking at Bong, and he's like, this guy's probably smuggling something, you know? And then he stops Bong, he goes, did you bring anything with you? Bong goes, no. You know, pats him down, looks at his bag. Okay, nothing, no paraphernalia, no drugs, nothing that he's smuggling. Bong continues to ride on to Seattle. The next week, Bong goes back to Canada. And again, he comes back through the border riding his bike again. And the patrol guy goes, why is this guy always riding his bike to the border? Bong does this like 5 times. And the patrol guy sees it 5 times. And the fifth time, he goes, look, I know you're smuggling something. I know you are. But if you tell me, I won't report you. I just need to know because I have this strong feeling that you are smuggling something to the United States. And Bong goes, it's the bike. Sometimes it's right in front of you. It's right in front of you, but you miss it. Christmas is Jesus offering Himself to people. But we miss it because we make it about an iPhone. We may make it about a watch. We make it about a car. We make it about a new shirt, a new headset, another Beats, right? Another new thing, because they're so good in marketing, making that thing that we bought 3 months ago old. Christmas is about Christ offering Himself to us. But we miss it. Colossians 1:19-20. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. If God did not need us for Him to die on the cross, He would have not came. Amen? If it's all religion, if religion can save a person, God would have not wasted His time. God would have not sacrificed Himself to die the most horrific way to die. Because religion cannot save anyone. Only Christ can save people. One of the greatest responsibilities we have is to share this eternally impactful good news, the love of Jesus, with others. Now, I started this message with a Christmas song that I like, but argued that it's temporal, right? It's temporal. If we'll start with the movie. We'll do with the song later, okay? If the music team can make their way up here, please, because there's a song that I think describes the love of the message of Christmas properly. And there are many. There are many songs that describes the message of Christmas. But when it comes to movies, remember I was knocking on the Notebook? But there's this one movie that I think really describes what love is. And men, if you have not seen it, and if you want pointers, you have to watch it. This is your guidebook to how you can truly please your woman. It's the movie When a Man Loves a Woman. Have you guys seen that? And this I think this is the most romantic movie compared to Notebook. This love that's portrayed in this movie somehow is similar to the depiction of God's love for us. It's very sacrificial. The husband in the movie endlessly and tirelessly loved his wife, and his wife had a drinking problem. Now, this is despite the fact that the wife ended up hating the husband, for he kept trying to love her and understand her and help her. So the truth of the matter is, there are many times that we hate God instead of loving Him. Despite the many things that He continues to do to make us feel His love, the many times that He has shown His love for us, we end up resenting. We're resenting His effort. We think that He's making our lives boring and unsatisfying. I mean, imagine you're being asked on a Sunday, instead of watching football, you're being asked to come to church and sing hymns, right? Now, when it comes to Christmas songs that relays the true message of God, I think this one brings it home for us. Let's all rise and sing along with them. You saw it, right? We know about it. We felt it many years. But we truly make Christmas about something else year in and year out. We know it's about Christ, but sometimes the allure of material things just comes to mind more often than not. We are hours away till Christmas becomes Christmas. But we have to ask, what has God redeemed in your life? Where have you seen the fullness of Christ? Have you seen His hope? Have you seen His peace, His joy, and His love this year? John, if you could please put up the verse, 1 John 4:10-19. Maybe there are so many things running through your mind right now. Is the ham cooked? I still have to clean the house, right? Did I pack the gifts properly? Did I wrap them properly? But maybe you're straining to see redemption in your life. Maybe you'd say it's been a long time since you truly felt loved. The greatest of all time Christmas was and is so special because it is a moment in time we can all point to and see God's love for mankind in action. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Amen? And sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because that is the biggest thing that you need, that we need. It's not the next new iPhone or the new shoes. It's forgiveness for our sins. That's what we need. We love because He first loved us. Because God is love. Amen? This Christmas could be a special one. This could be the moment that you decide to put your love for others in action. This could be the moment that you decide to follow the lead of Christ, to love others by giving your life, your energy, your time, and your resources for them. This could be the first time you accept God's love. This could be the first time you share God's love. The redemptive love of Christ is not something to keep to ourselves. It's something to share with as many people as we possibly can for as long as we can. Amen? That is our message for this Christmas Eve. Thank you very much for your patience. And as we will sing again the same song, as they are singing it, as they are singing O Holy Night, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, I would like to invite you to come up front so we can lead you into that prayer. Or if you came here and your heart's been heavy, I want to tell you that it's not an accident you're here. God brought you here. And if you need prayer, come up so we can pray for you. Now, if you've been visiting us for quite some time and our Lord has been telling you to become a part of it, please come up so we can recognize you. Let's all rise. Please, let's all rise. And I'm going to say our closing prayer, and then they will sing, and then I will come up here, wait for the people. Amen. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for this Christmas once again. We thank you for the truth that you spoke into our hearts and our souls. We ask, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to retain the message that you want us to retain, to help us, Lord God, to live out the message and the need for our souls that you truly know we need to do, we need to stop doing, we need to start doing. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Help us, Father God, to share your love to others. And Father, as we clock in and ring in Christmas later, we pray, Father God, that your sacrifice, you coming down here, Father, for our sins, be the one that truly rejoices in our hearts. We thank you for everything, Father, and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.